Sorry, Right Number, a screenplay by Stephen King. Author's note, screenplay abbreviations are simple and exist, in this author's opinion, solely to make those who write screenplays feel like Lodge Brothers. In any case, you should be aware that CU means close-up. ECU means extreme close-up. INT means interior. EXT means exterior. BG means background. POV means point of view. Probably most of you knew that stuff to begin with, right? Our characters are the Wiedermans, Katie, Bill, Polly, Dennis, Connie, and Jeff, as well as other voices, sobbing voice, Frida, Katie's mother, operator, minister, and announcer, as well as Don, groundskeeper, Hank, groom, and assorted wedding guests. Act 1. Fade in on Katie Wiedermann's mouth, extreme close-up. She's speaking into the telephone. Pretty mouth. In a few seconds, we'll see that the rest of her is just as pretty.
Bill? Oh, he said he doesn't feel very well. But he's always like that between books. Can't sleep. Thinks every headache is the first symptom of a brain tumor. Once he gets going on something new, he'll be fine.
Sound, background, the television. The camera draws back. Katie is sitting in the kitchen phone nook, having a good gab with her sister while she idles through some catalogs. We should notice one not quite ordinary thing about the phone she's on. It's the sort with two lines. There are lighted buttons to show which ones are engaged. Right now, only one, Katie's, is. As Katie continues her conversation, the camera swings away from her, tracks across the kitchen, and through the arched doorway that leads into the family room.
Oh, I saw Janie Charlton today. Yes, big as a house.
She fades. The TV gets louder. There are three kids, Jeff, 8, Connie, 10, and Dennis, 13. Wheel of Fortune is on, but they're not watching. Instead, they're engaged in that great pastime, fighting about what comes on later.
Come on! It was his first book!
His first gross book.
We're gonna watch Cheers and Wings, just like we do every week, Jeff.
Dennis speaks with the utter finality only a big brother can manage. Want to talk about it some more and see how much pain I can inflict on your scrawny body, Jeff? His face says.
Could we at least tape it?
We're taping CNN for Mom. She said she might be on the phone with Aunt Lois for quite a while.
How can you tape CNN, for God's sake? It never stops. That's what she likes about it.
And don't say God's sakes, Jeffy. You're not old enough to talk about God except in church.
Then don't call me Jeffy.
Jeffy, Jeffy, Jeffy.
Jeff gets up, walks to the window, and looks out into the dark. He's really upset. Dennis and Connie, in the grand tradition of older brothers and sisters, are delighted to see it.
Poor Jeffy.
I think he's gonna commit suicide.
It was his first book. Don't you guys even care?
Rent it down at the video stop tomorrow if you want to see it so bad.
They don't rent R-rated pictures to little kids and you know it.
Shut up. It's Vanna. I love Vanna.
Dennis! Go ask Dad to tape it on the VCR in his office and quit being such a totally annoying little booger.
Jeff crosses the room, poking his tongue out at Vanna White as he goes. The camera follows as he goes into the kitchen.
So when he asked me if Polly had tested strep positive, I had to remind him she's away at prep school. And gosh, Lois, I miss her. Will you kids please be quiet?
They'll be quiet now.
He goes up the stairs, a little dejected. Katie looks after him for a moment, loving and worried.
They're squabbling again. Polly used to keep them in line, but now that she's away at school, I don't know. Maybe sending her to Bolton wasn't such a hot idea. Sometimes when she calls home, she sounds so unhappy.
Interior. Bela Lugosi as Dracula. Close-up. Drax standing at the door of his Transylvanian castle. Someone has pasted a comic balloon coming out of his mouth, which reads, "Listen, my children of the night, what music they make." The poster is on a door, but we only see this as Jeff opens it and goes into his father's study. Interior. A photograph of Katie. Close-up. The camera holds, then pans slowly right. We pass another photo, this one of Polly, the daughter away at school. She's a lovely girl of 16 or so. Past Polly is Dennis, then Connie, then Jeff. The camera continues to pan and also widens out, so we can see Bill Wiederman, a man of about 44. He looks tired. He's peering into the word processor on his desk, but his mental crystal ball must be taking the night off because the screen is blank. On the walls, we see framed book covers. All of them are spooky. One of the titles is Ghost Kiss. Jeff comes up quietly behind his dad. The carpet muffles his feet. Bill sighs and shuts off the word cruncher. A moment later, Jeff claps his hands on his father's shoulders.
Booga booga!
Hi, Jeffy.
How come you didn't get scared?
Scaring is my business. I'm case hardened. Something wrong?
Daddy, can I watch the first hour of Ghost Kiss and you tape the rest? Dennis and Connie are hogging everything.
Bill swivels to look at the book jacket, bemused.
You sure you want to watch that, champ? It's pretty...
Yes!
Interior, Katie in the phone nook. In this shot, we clearly see the stairs leading to her husband's study behind her.
I really think Jeff needs the orthodontic work, but you know Bill.
The other line rings. The other light stutters.
That's just the other line. Bill will...
Well, now we see Bill and Jeff coming downstairs behind her.
Honey, where's the blank videotapes? I can't find any in the study and...
Wait. Gonna put you on hold a sec, Lo.
She does. Now both lines are blinking. She pushes the top one where the new call has just come in.
Hello, Wiederman residence.
Sound, desperate sobbing.
Take, please take. Polly, is that you? What's wrong? Please, quick. Polly, calm down. Whatever it is, can't be that bad.
Then click, a broken connection.
Polly, calm down. Whatever it is, can't be that bad.
Hum of an open line. Jeff has wandered toward the TV room, hoping to find a blank tape.
Who was that?
Without looking at her husband or answering him, Katie slams the lower button in again.
Lois, listen, I'll call you back. That was Polly, and she sounded very upset. No, she hung up. Yes, I will. Thanks.
It was Polly?
Crying her head off. It sounded like she was trying to say, please take me home. I knew that school was bumming her out. Why I ever let you talk me into it.
She's rummaging frantically on her little phone desk. Catalogs go slithering to the floor around her stool.
Connie, did you take my address book?
No, Mom.
Bill pulls a battered book out of his back pocket and pages through it.
I got it, except...
I know. Dorm phone is always busy. Give it to me.
Honey, calm down.
I'll calm down after I talk to her. She's 16, Bill. 16-year-old girls are prone to depressive interludes. Sometimes they even just give me the number.
617-555-8641.
As she punches in the numbers, the camera slides to close-up.
Come on, come on. Don't be busy. Just this once.
Sound. Clicks. A pause. Then the phone starts ringing.
Thank you, God.
Hartshorne Hall, this is Frida. If you want Christine, she's still in the shower, Arnie.
Could you call Polly to the phone? Polly Wiederman? This is Kate Wiederman, her mother.
Oh, jeez. Sorry, I thought... Hang on, please, Mrs. Wiederman.
Sound. The phone clunks down.
Paul, phone call. It's your mother.
Interior. A wider angle on the phone nook. With Bill.
Well?
Somebody's getting her, I hope.
I found one, Dad. Dennis hit him as usual.
In a minute, Jeff. Go watch the tube.
But...
I won't forget. Now go on.
Come on. Come on. Come on.
Calm down, Katie.
If you'd heard her, you wouldn't tell me to calm down. She sounded...
Hi, Mom.
Paul? Honey? Are you all right?
Am I all right? I aced my bio exam, got a B on my free conversational essay, and Ronnie Hansen asked me to harvest fall. I'm so all right that if one more good thing happens to me today, I'll probably blow up like the Hindenburg.
You didn't just call me up, crying your head off?
We see by Katie's face that she already knows the answer to this question.
I'm glad about your test and your date, honey. I guess it was someone else. I'll call you back, okay?
Okay, say hi to Dad.
I will.
Interior, the phone nook, wider.
She okay?
Fine. I could have sworn it was Polly, but she's walking on air.
So it was a prank, or someone who was crying so hard she dialed the wrong number. Through a shimmering film of tears, as we veteran hacks like to say.
It was not a prank, and it was not a wrong number. It was someone in my family.
Honey, you can't know that.
No? If Jeffy called up, just crying, would you know it was him?
Yeah, maybe. I guess I might.
She's not listening. She's punching numbers, fast.
Who are you calling?
She doesn't answer him. Sound. Phone rings twice. Then?
Hello?
Mom, are you... Did you call just a few seconds ago?
No, dear. Why?
Oh, you know these phones. I was talking to Lois, and I lost the other call.
Well, it wasn't me, Kate. I saw the prettiest dress in La Boutique today, and...
We'll talk about it later, Mom, okay?
Kate, are you all right?
I am. Mom, I think maybe I've got diarrhea. I have to go. Bye.
She hangs up. Bill hangs on until she does. Then he bursts into wild donkey brays of laughter.
Oh, boy. Diarrhea. I gotta remember that the next time my agent calls. Oh, Katie, that was so cool.
This is not funny.
Bill stops laughing. Interior, the TV room. Jeff and Dennis have been tussling. They stop. All three kids look toward the kitchen. Interior, in the phone nook, with Bill and Katie.
I tell you, it was someone in my family. And she sounded... Oh, you don't understand. I knew that voice.
But if Polly's okay, and your mom's okay...
It's Dawn.
Come on, hon. A minute ago, you were sure it was Polly.
It had to be Dawn. I was on the phone with Lois, and Mom's okay, so Dawn's the only other one it could have been. She's the youngest. I could have mistaken her for Polly, and she's out there in that farmhouse alone with the baby.
What do you mean, alone?
Jerry's in Burlington. It's Dawn. Something's happened to Dawn.
Mom, is Aunt Dawn okay?
So far as we know, she's fine. Take it easy, doll. Bad to buy trouble before you know what's on sale.
Katie punches numbers and listens. Sound. The dut, dut, dut of a busy signal. Katie hangs up. Bill looks a question at her with raised eyebrows.
Busy.
Katie, are you sure?
She's the only one left. It had to be her. Bill, I'm scared. Will you drive me out there?
What's her number?
555-6169.
Bill dials. Gets a busy. Hangs up and punches zero.
Operator.
I'm trying to reach my sister-in-law, operator. The line is busy. I suspect there may be a problem. Can you break into the call, please?
Interior. The door to the TV room. All three kids are standing there, silent and worried. Interior. The phone nook with Bill and Katie.
What is your name, sir?
William Wiederman. My number is...
Not the William Wiederman that wrote Spider-Doom.
Yes, that was mine.
Oh, my God! I just loved that book! I love all your books! I'm
delighted you do. But right now, my wife is very worried about her sister. If it's possible for you to...
Yes, I can do that. Please, give me your number, Mr. Wiederman, for the records. I promise not to give it out.
It's 555-4408.
And the call number?
555-6169.
555-6169.
Just a moment, Mr. Wiederman. Night of the Beast was also great, by the way. Hold on.
Sound. Telephonic clicks and quacks.
Is she?
Yes, just...
There's one final click.
I'm sorry, Mr. Wiederman, but that line is not busy. It's off the hook. I wonder if I sent you my copy of Spider-Doom.
Why did you hang up?
She can't break in. Phone's not busy. It's off the hook.
They stare at each other bleakly. Exterior. Night. A low-slung sports car passes the camera. Interior. The car. With Katie and Bill. Katie's scared. Bill at the wheel doesn't look exactly calm.
Hey, Bill. Tell me she's all right.
She's all right.
Now tell me what you really think.
Jeff snuck up behind me tonight and pulled the old booga-booga on me. He was disappointed as hell when I didn't jump. I told him I was case hardened. I lied.
Why did Jerry have to move out there when he's gone half the time? Just her and that little tiny baby? Why?
Shh. Kate, we're almost there.
Go faster.
Exterior, the car. He does. That car is smoking. Interior, the Wiedemann TV room. The tube's still on and the kids are still there, but the horsing around has stopped.
Dennis, do you think Aunt Dawn's okay?
Yeah, sure she is.
Interior, the phone. Point of view from the TV room. Just sitting there on the wall in the phone nook, lights dark, looking like a snake ready to strike. Fade out. Act 2. Exterior, an isolated farmhouse. A long driveway leads up to it. There's one light on in the living room. Car lights sweep up the driveway. The Wiedemann car pulls up close to the garage and stops. Interior, the car with Bill and Katie.
I'm scared.
Bill bends down, reaches under his seat, and brings out a pistol.
Booga booga.
How long have you had that?
Since last year. I didn't want to scare you or the kids. I've got a license to carry. Come on.
Exterior. Bill and Katie. They get out. Katie stands by the front of the car while Bill goes to the garage and peers in.
Her car's here.
The camera tracks with them to the front door. Now we can hear the TV playing loud. Bill pushes the doorbell. We hear it inside. They wait. Katie pushes it. Still no answer. She pushes it again and doesn't take her finger off. Bill looks down at exterior, the lock, Bill's point of view. Big scratches on it. Exterior, Bill and Katie.
The lock's been tampered with.
Katie looks and whimpers. Bill tries the door. It opens. The TV is louder.
Stay behind me. Be ready to run if something happens. God, I'd wish I'd left you home, Kate.
He starts in. Katie comes after him, terrified, near tears. Interior, Dawn and Jerry's living room. From this angle, we see only a small section of the room. The TV is much louder. Bill enters the room, gun up. He looks to the right, and suddenly all the tension goes out of him. He lowers the gun.
Bill, what?
He points. Interior, the living room, wide. Bill and Katie's point of view. The place looks like a cyclone hit it, but it wasn't robbery and murder that caused this mess, only a healthy 18-month-old baby. After a strenuous day of trashing the living room, baby got tired and mommy got tired, and they fell asleep on the couch together. The baby is in Dawn's lap. There is a pair of Walkman earphones on her head. There are toys, tough, plastic, Sesame Street, and play school stuff, for the most part, scattered here to breakfast. The baby has also pulled most of the books off the bookcase. Had a good munch on one of them, too, by the look. Bill goes over and picks it up. It is Ghost Kiss.
I've had people say they just eat my books up, but this is ridiculous.
He's amused. Katie isn't. She walks over to her sister, ready to be mad. But she sees how really exhausted Dawn looks and softens. Interior, Dawn and the baby, Katie's point of view. Fast asleep and breathing easily like a Raphael painting of Madonna and Child. The camera pans down to the Walkman. We can hear the faint strains of Huey Lewis in the news. The camera pans a bit further to a Princess telephone on the table by the chair. It's off the cradle, not much, just enough to break the connection and scare people to death. Interior, Katie. She sighs, bends down, and replaces the telephone. Then she pushes the stop button on the Walkman. Interior. Don, Bill, and Katie. Don wakes up when the music stops, looks at Bill and Katie, puzzled.
Well, hi.
She realizes she's got the Walkman phones on and removes them.
Hi, Don.
Should have called, guys. Place is a mess.
She smiles. She's radiant when she smiles.
We tried. The operator told Bill the phone was off the hook. I thought something was wrong. How can you sleep with that music blasting?
It's restful. Oh, my God, Bill. I'm sorry. Justin's teething and...
There are critics who say he picked just the right thing to teethe on. I don't want to scare you, beautiful. Somebody's been at your front door lock with a screwdriver or something. Whoever it was forced it.
Gosh, no. That was Jerry last week. I locked us out by mistake, and he didn't have his key, and the spare wasn't over the door like it's supposed to be. He was mad, so he took the screwdriver to it. Didn't work either. That's one tough lock.
If it wasn't forced, how come I could just open the door and walk in?
Well, sometimes I forget to lock it.
You didn't call me tonight, Don.
Jean, no. I didn't call anyone. I was too busy chasing Justin around. He kept wanting to eat the fabric softener. Then he got sleepy, and I sat down here and thought I'd listen to some tunes while I waited for your movie to come on, Bill, and I fell asleep.
At the mention of the movie, Bill starts visibly and looks at the book. Then he glances at his watch.
I promised to tape it for Jeff. Come on, Katie. We've got time to get
back. Just a second.
She picks up the phone and dials.
Gee, Bill, do you think Jeffy's old enough to watch something like that?
It's network. They take out the blood bags.
Oh, that's good.
Interior. Katie. Close-up.
Hello?
Just thought you'd like to know your Aunt Dawn's fine.
Oh, cool. Thanks, Mom.
Interior. The phone nook with Dennis and the others. He looks very relieved.
Aunt Dawn's okay.
Interior. The car with Bill and Katie. They drive in silence for a while.
You think I'm a hysterical idiot, don't you?
No. I was scared, too.
You sure you're not mad?
I'm too relieved. She's sort of a scatterbrain, old Don, but I love her.
I love you. You're a sweet man.
I'm the boogeyman.
I am not fooled, sweetheart.
Exterior. The car passes the camera, and we dissolve to interior. Jeff, in bed. His room is dark. The covers are pulled up to his chin.
You promise to tape the rest?
Camera widens out so we can see Bill sitting on the bed.
I promise.
I especially like the part where the dead guy ripped off the punk rocker's head.
Well, they used to take out all the blood bags.
What, Dad?
Nothing. I love you, Jeffy.
I love you, too. So does Rambo.
Jeff holds up a stuffed dragon of decidedly unmilitant aspect. Bill kisses the dragon, then Jeff.
Night.
Night. Glad Aunt Dawn is okay.
Me too.
He goes out. Interior. TV. Close-up. A guy who looks like he died in a car crash about 2 weeks prior to filming and has since been subjected to a lot of hot weather is staggering out of a crypt. The camera widens to show Bill, releasing the VCR pause button.
Booga booga.
Bill looks around companionably. The camera widens out more to show Katie wearing a nightgown.
Same to you. I missed the first 40 seconds or so after the break. I had to kiss Rambo.
You sure you're not mad at me, Bill?
He goes to her and kisses her.
Not even a smidge.
It's just that I could have sworn it was one of mine. You know what I mean? One of mine?
Yes.
I can still hear those sobs. So lost, so heartbroken.
Kate, have you ever thought you recognized someone on the street and called her, and when she finally turned around, it was a total stranger?
Yes, once, in Seattle. I was in a mall, and I thought I saw my old roommate. I see what you're saying.
Sure, there are sound-alikes as well as look-alikes.
But you know your own. At least I thought so, until tonight. I was so positive it was Polly.
because you've been worried about her getting her feet under her at the new school. But judging from the stuff she told you tonight, I'd say she's doing just fine in that department, wouldn't you?
Yes, I guess I would.
Let it go, hon.
I hate to see you looking so tired. Hurry up and have an idea, you.
Well, I'm trying.
You coming to bed?
As soon as I finish taping this for Jeff.
Bill, that machine was made by Japanese technicians who think of near everything. It'll run on its own.
Yeah, but it's been a long time since I've seen this one, and...
Okay, enjoy. I think I'll be awake for a little while. I've got a few ideas of my own.
Yeah?
She starts out, then turns in the doorway as something else strikes her.
If they show that part where the punk's head gets...
I'll edit it.
Night. And thanks again for everything.
She leaves. Bill sits in his chair. Interior, TV, close-up. A couple is necking in a car. Suddenly, the passenger door is ripped open by the dead guy, and we dissolve to... Interior, Katie, in bed. It's dark. She's asleep. She wakes up, sort of.
Hey, big guy.
She feels for him, but his side of the bed is empty. The coverlet still pulled up. She sits up, looks at... Interior, a clock on the night table. Katie's point of view. It says 2:03. Then it flashes 2:04. Interior, Katie, fully awake now and concerned. She gets up, puts on her robe, and leaves the bedroom. Interior, this TV screen, close up, snow.
Bill? Honey? You okay? Bill? Bill?
Interior, Katie, in Bill's study. She's frozen, wide-eyed with horror. Interior, Bill, in his chair. He's slumped to one side, eyes closed, hand inside his shirt. Dawn was sleeping. Bill is not. Exterior, a coffin being lowered into a grave. We hear the minister. And so we commit the earthly remains of William Wiedermann to the ground, confident of his spirit and soul. Be ye not cast down, brethren. Exterior, graveside. All the Wiedermanns are arranged here. Katie and Polly wear identical black dresses and veils. Connie wears a black skirt and white blouse. Dennis and Jeff wear black suits. Jeff is crying. He has Rambo the Dragon under his arm for a little extra comfort. The camera moves in on Katie. Tears course slowly down her cheeks. She bends and gets a handful of earth, tosses it onto the grave.
Love you, big guy.
Dissolve to exterior, the grave. A groundskeeper puts the last sod into place.
My wife says she wishes you'd written a couple more before you had your heart attack, mister. I like westerns myself.
The groundskeeper walks away, whistling. Dissolve to exterior, day, a church. Title card, 5 years later. The wedding march is playing. Polly, older and radiant with joy, emerges into a pelting shower of rice. She's in a wedding gown, her new husband by her side. Celebrants throwing rice line either side of the path. From behind the bride and groom come others. Among them are Katie, Dennis, Connie, and Jeff, all 5 years older. With Katie is another man. This is Hank. In the interim, Katie has also taken a husband. Polly turns, and her mother is there.
Thank you, Mom.
Oh, doll, you're so welcome.
They embrace. After a moment, Polly draws away and looks at Hank. There is a brief moment of tension, and then Polly embraces Hank, too.
Thank you, too, Hank. I'm sorry I was such a creep for so long.
You were never a creep, Paul. A girl only has one father.
Throw it! Throw it!
After a moment, Polly throws her bouquet. Exterior, the bouquet. Close-up, slow motion. Turning and turning through the air. Dissolves to... Interior, night, the study with Katie. The word processor has been replaced by a wide lamp looming over a stack of blueprints. The book jackets have been replaced by photos of buildings, ones that have first been built in Hank's mind, presumably. Katie is looking at the desk, thoughtful and a little sad.
Coming to bed, Kate?
She turns, and the camera widens out to give us Hank. He's wearing a robe over his pajamas. She comes to him and gives him a little hug, smiling. Maybe we notice a few streaks of gray in her hair. Her pretty pony has done its fair share of running since Bill died.
In a little while. A woman doesn't see her first one get married every day, you know.
I know.
The camera follows as they walk from the work area of the study to the more informal area. This is much the same as it was in the old days, with a coffee table, stereo, TV, couch, and Bill's old easy chair. She looks at this.
You still miss him, don't you?
Some days, more than others. You didn't know, and Polly didn't remember.
Remember what, doll?
Polly got married on the 5-year anniversary of Bill's death.
Come to bed.
In a little while.
Okay. Maybe I'll still be awake.
Got a few ideas, do you?
I might.
He kisses her, then leaves, closing the door behind him. Katie sits in Bill's old chair. Close by, on the coffee table, is a remote control for the TV and an extension phone. Katie looks at the blank TV, and the camera moves in on her face. One tear rims one eye, sparkling like a sapphire.
I do still miss you, big guy. Lots and lots. Every day. And you know what? It hurts.
The tear falls. She picks up the TV remote and pushes the on button. Interior. TV. Katie's point of view. An ad for Ginsu knives comes to an end and is replaced by a star logo.
Now back to Channel 63's Thursday night star time movie, Ghost Kiss.
The logo dissolves to a guy who looks like he died in a car crash about 2 weeks ago and has been subjected to a lot of hot weather. He comes staggering out of the same old crypt. Interior, Katie, terribly startled, almost horrified. She hits the off button on the remote control. The TV blinks off. Katie's face begins to work. She struggles against the impending emotional storm, but the coincidence of the movie is just one thing too many on what must have already been one of the most emotionally trying days of her life. The dam breaks and she begins to sob, terrible, heartbroken sobs. She reaches out for the little table by the chair, meaning to put the remote control on it, and knocks the phone onto the floor. Sound, the hum of an open line. Her tear-stained face grows suddenly still as she looks at the telephone. Something begins to fill it. An idea? An intuition? Hard to tell, but maybe it doesn't matter. Interior. The telephone. Katie's point of view. The camera moves in to extreme close-up. Moves in until the dots in the off-the-hook receiver look like chasms. Sound of an open-line buzz up to loud. We go into the black and hear...
Who are you calling? Who do you want to call? Who would you call if it wasn't too late?
Interior, Katie. There is now a strange, hypnotized look on her face. She reaches down, scoops the telephone up, and punches in numbers, seemingly at random. Sound. Ringing telephone. Katie continues to look hypnotized. The look holds until the phone is answered, and she hears herself on the other end of the line.
Hello, Wiederman residence.
Katie, our present-day Katie with streaks of gray in her hair, goes on sobbing, yet an expression of desperate hope is trying to be born on her face. On some level, she understands that the depth of her grief has allowed a kind of telephonic time travel. She's trying to talk, to force the words out.
Take, please take.
Interior, Katie in the phone nook, reprise. It's 5 years ago. Bill is standing beside her, looking concerned. Jeff is wandering off to look for a blank tape in the other room.
Polly, what's wrong?
Interior, Katie in the study.
Please, quick.
Sound, click of a broken connection.
Take him to the hospital. If you want him to live, take him to the hospital. He's going to have a heart attack.
Sound, hum of an open line. Slowly, very slowly, Katie hangs up the telephone. Then after a moment, she picks it up again. She speaks aloud with no self-consciousness whatever. probably doesn't even know if she's doing it.
I dialed the old number.
Slam cut to interior. Bill in the phone nook with Katie beside him. He's just taken the phone from Katie and is speaking to the operator.
I promise not to give it out.
It's 555.
Slam cut to interior. Katie in Bill's old chair. Close up.
4408.
Interior. The phone. Close up. Katie's trembling finger carefully picks out the number, and we hear the corresponding tones. 555-4408. Dissolves to interior. Katie in Bill's old chair. Close up. She closes her eyes as the phone begins to ring. Her face is filled with an agonizing mixture of hope and fear. If only she can have one more chance to pass the vital message on, it says. Just one more chance.
You have reached a non-working number. Please hang up and dial again. If you need assistance...
Katie hangs up again. Tears stream down her cheeks. The camera pans away and down to the telephone. Interior, the phone nook with Katie and Bill. Reprise.
So it was a prank, or someone who was crying so hard she dialed a wrong number. Through a shimmering film of tears, as we veteran hacks like to say.
It was not a prank, and it was not a wrong number. It was someone in my family.
Interior, Katie, present day, in Bill's study.
Yes, someone in my family. Someone who is close. Me.
She suddenly throws the phone across the room. She starts to sob again and puts her hands over her face. Camera holds on her for a moment, then dollies across. Interior, the phone. It lies on the carpet, looking both bland and somber. Camera moves into extreme close-up. The holes in the receiver look like huge dark chasms. We hold, then fade to black.